Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text number 61, Perfection of Renunciation. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, or Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Purport. Arjuna was not the supreme knower, and his decision to fight or not to fight was confined to his limited discretion. Lord Krishna instructed that the individual is not all in all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, or He Himself, Krishna, as the localized supersoul, sits in the heart directing the living being. After changing bodies, the living entity forgets his past deeds, but the supersoul, as the knower of the past, present, and future, remains the witness of all his activities. Therefore, all the activities of living entities are directed by this supersoul. The living entity gets what he deserves and is carried by the material body, which is created in the material energy under the direction of the supersoul. As soon as the living entity is placed in a particular type of body, he has to work under the spell of that bodily situation. A person seated in a high-speed motor car goes faster than one seated in a slower car, although the living entity of the drivers may be the same. Similarly, by the order of the Supreme Soul, material nature fashions a particular type of body to a particular type of living entity so that he may work according to his past desires. The living entity is not independent. One should not think himself independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The individual is always under the Lord's control. Therefore, one's duty is to surrender, and that is the injunction of the next verse.
Ishvara sarabhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarabhutani yantra rudani maya.
The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material nature, energy.
Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvistesa Srinivadi Paskatya De Siddharane.
This 18th chapter is a summary of the knowledge given in the previous chapters. And in the previous chapter, Krishna has explained that Sharira Yadavatnoti Yatschapyu Kramati Sharaha The living entity in this material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, just like the air carries aroma, and thus he quits one kind of body and again takes another. Strotram chakshu sparshanam cha rasanam granam eva cha adishtaya manakchanya vishayan upasevate. Living entity, thus taking another gross body, attains a particular set of senses, type of particular nose, particular set of eyes, ears, tongue, skin, all centered around the mind, and thus he enjoys a particular set of sense objects. Therefore, it's concluded that whatever body we have now is not by accident, and the body itself is simply the vehicle that the soul is in. The soul is the passenger. He's not even the driver. The driver here, Krishna says, Ishvara sarabhutanam hridayeshe arjuna tishtati. He's the driver, and he orders the material nature to fashion a particular type of body according to our past activities. But in human form of life, there is the opportunity to simply agree to utilize this body in Krishna's service. That the living entity, as Krishna is emphasizing here, is not independent in his activities. Although sometimes we think that by circumstances it's unfair what's happening to me. But we have to understand that everything is under Krishna's control. He's the supreme arranger. And it's not a question what circumstances we're under. It's a question of how to utilize those circumstances in Krishna's service. There are many great devotees, such as Prahlad Maharaj and the Pandavas, Queen Kunti, who were put into very distressful circumstances. What could be more distressful than being thrown over a mountain, being put into a pot of boiling oil. But Prahlad Maharaj never protested when he saw Lord Nrsimhadev. He didn't say, everything was all right, but why did you put me in a pot of boiling oil? What did I do? I couldn't have done anything that bad in my past lifetime. After all, you know, I'm thinking of you, but why did you put me in the pot of boiling oil? He didn't think, why did you throw me over a cliff? Why did all these people attack me? I mean, I was chanting Hare Krishna. Didn't the mantra work? Didn't it? He never complained because he knew that anything that goes on is an arrangement of Krishna. Similarly, when Pariksha Maharaj saw the bull being beaten and three of his four legs were broken, and when Pariksha Maharaj asked him, who is the culprit who's done this, the bull was very hesitant to reveal the culprit. Because he knew that although the sudra dressed as a king was the immediate cause, but he was actually not the ultimate cause. Behind him was material nature, and behind the material nature is Krishna. And since he didn't want to blame Krishna, he didn't protest and didn't name the culprit. Because as soon as we start thinking that someone is the culprit, and we don't see it in relationship to Krishna, then we also become responsible. In other words, if we're an illusion, thinking that someone else is the cause of my distress, and we don't see that the actual cause of our distress is our own past misdeeds, then we're actually an illusion. And because we're in the illusory consciousness, we create for ourselves another type of suffering in the future. Therefore, generally, the devotees, they pray, as Lord Brahma prayed, Tate nukam pamasu samikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvapu virvi dadanamaste jivete yo bhukti sadayava. That, my dear Lord, that Tate nukam pamasu samikshamano, even in the midst of all kinds of disturbances and trying situations, still I know that whatever problems I put into it, it's all due to my past misdeeds. But while I'm suffering the result and reactions of my past activities, still from within the core of my heart, one goes on praying for your mercy. And one who does that, Lord Brahma says, he becomes sadayava. He becomes worthy of inheriting his father's property, or he gets the full mercy of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna says, one who understands that he's not this body, just like Arjuna, he was on the battlefield Kurukshetra, he told Krishna, he said that, yes, my dear Krishna, I may not be this body, but still it's going to hurt. When they shoot arrows at my body, it'll hurt. We know that. Just like we may have the philosophy, we know the philosophy, I'm not this body, but if something happens to my body, it hurts. Therefore, I may not be my body, but still, I want to protect my body. It does mean I'm not this body, and therefore, when I cross the street, I don't look both ways, because it doesn't matter whether the car hits me, it's not going to hit me, it'll hit my body. I'm not my body, so I don't care. But no one practically lives like that, because if the car hits our body, then we hurt. Therefore, Krishna said, yes, you should use your intelligence, but inevitably there will be some problems in material existence. So, matra sparshas dukandeya shitoshna sukadukada agama paino nityas tam titikshva svabharata. Therefore, your principal lesson to learn the material existence is titikshasva, is tolerance. Tolerance of the dualities of material existence. Sometimes happiness, sometimes distress, sometimes honor, and sometimes dishonor. Just like if someone is dishonored all the time, then even if he gets a little honor, he may become completely elated. And if someone is honored all the time, even if he gets a little dishonor, then he becomes morose. If someone is dishonored all the time, or not very much honor, then he gets used to it. He doesn't expect very much honor. And if he gets a little honor, he thinks that this is very great. And someone who's honored all the time, he gets used to it, and even a little dishonor seems like a great catastrophe to him. Therefore, one should not be attached to honor or dishonor, the dualities of material existence, so-called happiness and pain. But one's real occupation should be, in the midst of all these dualities, to focus the consciousness upon Krishna and to go on as much as possible to do Krishna's service. Therefore, if one can do that, then he becomes worthy of entering into the kingdom of God at the end of quitting this body. But one who's always thinking, I didn't get enough honor, I was dishonored, I didn't get what I wanted, I was suffering, I really wanted happiness. One who's always in this, following his mind, the mind's desires, about which all deal with our false ego, whether or not our false ego is being satisfied, whether people love my false ego or not, whether people are treating me nicely, my false conception, whether my body is, is comfortable or not. Our service to the material world, one who follows the mind and remains faithful servant to the material world, then he becomes worthy of taking another body and suffering again in material existence, coming back to do more service to the illusory energy. Maya is very kind. If one develops a service attitude towards the illusory energy, she gives us so much service. There's no limit to the service Maya can engage us in. Maya is very expert in engaging conditioned souls in illusory service. But if one wants to engage in Krishna service, as it says, kamadi nam katina katida palita durnideshas te shamayi jata na trapa na karuna no pashanti utri jaitam atayatapate sampratam lababuddhis twamayata sharanam abhayam twamyinu kshvatma dasye. So one very intelligent devotee prays, kamadinam katina katida palita durnideshas, that for so long, in so many different ways, I've remained a faithful servant to my material desires. And although I've been serving them very faithfully, their orders are very difficult to carry out sometimes. Still, they've never been merciful to me. Although I've never been ashamed to serve them, they've never ceased demanding me service. But now, somehow or another, my transcendental intelligence has been awakened, and now I'm giving up the service to the illusory energy. Therefore, kindly engage me in your service and kindly protect me. With this understanding that I am actually a spiritual being, I have nothing to do with this material world. My real interest is in finding real happiness in the spiritual world rather than chasing after illusory happiness in the material world, something that can never be gotten, like looking for water in a desert. And one should instead go to the oasis where there is unlimited water and dive into the oasis of Krishna consciousness. But for doing that, one has to divert his attention from his temporary bodily situation, which can never be solved, and divert his attention to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and meditating on him rather than our temporary so-called anxieties and problems. That is called surrender. That whatever body we have is never good enough. Even Brahma is probably thinking, it wasn't quite the body I wanted. I only have 4 heads, and there's Brahmas, they have 10 heads. I really wanted 10 heads. It would be easier to solve my problems. And others have 1,000 heads or 10 million heads. Next lifetime, I hope to get one of those bodies. That way, if I have any problem, I'll have 10 million heads to solve it with. But Brahma, who has 10 million heads, he has the universe 10 million times bigger than our Brahma, and he has 10 million times more problems to use his heads for. So probably the 10 million head Brahmas think if only had only four heads, I'd have less headaches. One has to spend so much money on aspirin all day long. So in this material world, one can never expect to have a perfect situation. The only way of getting a perfect situation is to get out of the material world. And the only way of doing that is not to worry so much about the material world, but to engage oneself in Krishna's service. Not to lament over the present body we have and hanker after a different one. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes.
Sometimes after doing some years, take the service, especially, for example, direct food distribution, then you start to think about becoming a little bit weak and something, become ready, you know, or fail to run around some next to the world. But you see, I got this realization that weeks ago, I received this outside of times, and I was 65 and I was around the bricks. So, it was handy work. I said, it doesn't mean when you love the sun after some time, it's not a small flow by time, you go to run around. It's simply in my head. It's really true that I have 5 years of love. Is it such a handy service for example?
Well, I did it for full time for 12 years and part time for the last for 15 years now. So I never really thought that it was such a heavy service standing on the street. Of course, if you carry a lot of books, we used to carry 40, 50, well, I guess kilos, it would be like sometimes we'd carry 30, 40 kilos all day long for 10 hours a day on one shoulder. So that was a little difficult. But if you don't have to do that, I don't, what's the difficulty? Just walking around. Well, because we're not getting paid. If it was a matter of eating or too tough. Because we can do other, devotees have options. In other words, the karmis, they work hard, but they generally don't have so many options. It's either work hard or don't eat. So they usually choose to work hard rather than not to eat. But we don't have that option. We generally get enough to eat anyhow, even if we don't work hard. But if that was the choice, you'd see a lot more devotees out there for a lot longer. But we don't really think it's either, you know, work hard or don't go, don't go back to Godhead. We don't see that option. But actually, if one works hard in Krishna's service and becomes purified, then he becomes eligible to go back to the spiritual world. He doesn't have to come back here and work so hard anymore. But if one takes it easy and falls into sense gratification, then he'll come back for another. Have to work another 5 years next lifetime. Then he may retire. It'll all add up. He'll have to work equally number of years anyhow, but in successive births. He'll have to take breaks in between in different wombs, hanging upside down for 7 months. Or 9 months. Imagine 9 months without prasadam. Quite difficult. Yeah.
You said when the problems come to the body, then it depends on how he takes it. If he's in love, then he doesn't get a reaction of taking another verse, but when he starts complaining, then he does. So it matters how you take it.
Yeah, of course. If you think, why is this happening to me? Do they know who I am? Do they know what they're getting themselves into doing this to me? You know, I'm so nice and pure. How is it possible? Someone who thinks like that, obviously, is in Maya. Someone who thinks that it's coming from Krishna,
then I deserve whatever I get. I just have to struggle to remember Krishna anyhow. Then he's obviously going to remember Krishna. Therefore, trinada pisunichena turai visahishnina amani namadadinena kirtini yaksadahari. If one wants to get a taste for chanting the holy name, he has to learn tolerance and humility. That's all right. Still, one has to be intelligent. But one shouldn't get unnecessarily angry. If one is Krishna conscious, if someone comes along, you know, if someone steps on your foot, you think, well, I got to be tolerant. You know, I can't tell them to get off my foot because that would be lack of tolerance. One has to be reasonable. But one has to see things in Krishna's service. You can't. If something good happens to one, one can't think that I deserve it. It's due to my prowess. And if something bad happens, that this is unfair. But that doesn't mean one is not practical in his dealings. It has to be reasonable. You can't think someone is coming, they've put their hand in my pocket, they're stealing my money, it's probably due to my past misdeeds, so why should I protest? No, he has to do what's necessary. But at the same time, he may realize it's due to his past misdeeds. But still, he'll try and he knows it's Krishna's money. Therefore, he prevents people from taking it. Just like one time when Prabhupada was explaining to someone about how a person who's Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastane, that a person who's self-realized, he sees everyone equally, whether he's sinful or pious. And then the man started to argue with him. Prabhupada said, get out of here. If you don't want to listen, if you don't want to accept the philosophy, then I can't speak to you. So the man said, you should be equal. Prabhupada said, well, I'm not on that level. So we can't be artificial either. You know, it's all one. But at the same time, we should be Krishna conscious. Yes. By what quality? Humility. Anyhow, how can they honor? We're only 1/10,000th the size of Tipa here in size. What kind of honor do we expect? We looked through the microscope and we saw you. You were actually quite attractive. Although we couldn't see you clearly because the microscope couldn't really make you out really clearly, but you seem quite attractive. What kind of honor do we expect? It's like if you buy a car, you're a passenger, you get inside a taxi, and someone passes you by and say, "Hey, that's a nice taxi you're driving in." What is it? So what's the big deal? It's not your taxi. You're just a passenger. How much thrill do you get when someone praises you, what a nice taxi you're driving? And if someone says, well, you're a fool because the taxi is going to drive over a cliff and you're going with it. No matter how nice a taxi you're driving in, probably the best thing to do is get out of it. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah, well, we can't imitate them. You can aspire to follow their example. Well, at the same time, one should realize it's Krishna's body. Therefore, it should be maintained properly. Well, if it's your karma to be less intelligent and not go to someone who might be able to fix your body, then it's a fact. If it's your karma to be satisfied eating, then why bother eating prasadam? Why breathe if it's your karma to get air? You know, why do anything if it's your karma? So it's not a question of, we just don't work. It's not a question of just karma. It's also following what Krishna wants us to do. We have to meditate on what Krishna wants us to do and then do that. So it's a question of taking care of the body. Then we have to do that. If someone sticks a knife in your back, you think, well, if it's my karma, it'll fall out and I'll cure her. It doesn't really matter. I don't have to ask anyone. Obviously, it's not very practical. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course, it's useless. Yeah, you can take too much, therefore yuktahara, not too much and not too little. Just like the car. If your car is running down and the engine doesn't work, you don't put it on a machine to keep the engine running. You know, if it doesn't work, then you get another car. People are so much that all they know is their body. Therefore, they can't conceive. They think that as soon as my body stops working, then I stop working. And the people who make the machines that these people are on, they make a lot of money doing it because people are completely absorbed in their body. So it's a good business. Okay, thank you. Oh, one more thing. Yeah. Not just tolerate. Tolerance has to be there, but it's not just tolerance. It's a question of using our intelligence. In other words, just like if you know you can't, there's other factors too, like over endeavoring, niyamagraha. So one should be enthusiastic, one should be confident, patient, follow the regular principles. At the same time, one should not just tolerate, one has to make sure that one should be tolerant. He should also be humble. He should be intelligent. There are other factors too. So he doesn't do prayasas, over-endeavor, or atihara. Prayasas, prajapa niyamagraha. He knows why he's doing it. He does the right thing. Then it's too much. Then yeah, of course it means we're not advanced enough. So that means we should artificially pretend that we are advanced enough.
What's the
That's right. So we should put ourselves in a situation where we can tolerate. Therefore, Gajendra the elephant is the example. He was fighting in a situation where he wasn't qualified. And although he's a very strong animal, he's being defeated by the alligator because he's fighting in the water, but he was an animal of the land. So once you put himself in a situation where his body, his mind, and his physical, mental, and strength, and he can fight against Maya. Not that he thinks I'm an elephant, but let me go and fight in the water. And if I die, it was glorious. Not to fight against Maya, and one needs bodily, mental strength. Of course not. Why do it? But if you think you're not qualified, then why should you just jump into it? You should reasonably think about it. Well, if you're suddenly going to become the authority, you should know what your qualifications are too. Probably you know yourself too better, at least as well as he does. You've been living with yourself for as long, longer than anyone else. If you take up a responsibility where you're sure you're going to fail, you have confidence that I'm going to fail, you might consider it before you do it. And then if you fail, you say, well, it wasn't my fault. He told me to do it. I knew I was going to fail. That's not very reasonable. Once you know, it one's capacity. And generally in such a situation, if you protest and say, well, I'm probably not qualified, the person will probably agree with you, find someone else. But you think, well, I'm honored, I don't see any good quality in myself because I'm so humble. But he sees so many good qualities in me. So maybe they'll manifest when I take up the service. And when they don't manifest immediately, then we blame him. You caused me to do it. Yes. Yeah, of course. But generally, sometimes it's like that. It's called Niyamagraha. Or priyasas. It's possible. Generally, most of us don't suffer from over endeavor. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.